Okay, today's daf is Yuma daf Yud Beis. We left off on the bottom of daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So first thing we're going to do is continue the discussion about a Beis HaKnesses, whether a Beis HaKnesses is Metame B'Nugayim, not Metame B'Nugayim, whether it's Chayiv and Mezuzah or not, and we're going to link those two discussions. Whether it's Metame B'Nugayim may depend on whether it's Chayiv and Mezuzah, and which types of Beis HaKnesses may or may not be Chayiv and Mezuzah. That leads directly into a discussion if Yerushalayim was Neschalka L'Shvatim, meaning was Yerushalayim divided up amongst the Shvatim of Yehuda and Binyamin, or is it just a city that was shared by all of Klal Yisrael without being divided up amongst the Shvatim? Then on the middle of Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to talk about that even a Beis HaKnesses Tekfarim, even a Beis HaKnesses that's in a small village, is not Metame B'Negaim, because it's not Miyuchad for anybody. That's going to reject a Chilik that we make earlier in the Daf. On the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to have three opinions of how we make the backup Kohen Gadol, how we turn him into a Kohen Gadol, how we're mechanich him as the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, in the middle of the day. Normally, we would say that we'd put on the Shemona Begadim, that's mechanich him. But Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear Shemona Begadim either. So we're going to have three different opinions of how it is that we turn a backup Kohen Gadol into an actual Kohen Gadol. The Gemara is then going to discuss the Kohen Gadol, the different types of the avnet worn by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur and during the year, and a machlokas whether the Kohen Hedyot's avnet more resembled the avnet of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, or more resembled the avnet of the Kohen Gadol during the year, because the Kohen Gadol had a different one during the year than he did in Yom Kippur. During the year he wore shatnez, on Yom Kippur he wore just linen. So that's the question: what did the Kohen Hedyot typically wear? So then in the middle of Yud Beis and Beis, we're going to have machlokas what we can do with begadim that were worn by a Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippurim. It's just dal begadim, so maybe you can use them throughout the year, or maybe you can use them for Yom Kippur Acher. Maybe you can't even do that. So that's going to be a discussion in the Gemara. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to discuss practically what do we do with the backup Kohen Gadol once the first Kohen Gadol comes back. I mean, the first Kohen Gadol has a psul, so he's going to be disqualified, and we'll have the backup Kohen Gadol finish the job. Now the first Kohen Gadol comes back, so is the backup Kohen Gadol still a Kohen Gadol? Is he Kohen Hedyot? Is he neither? What do we do with him? So let's begin. We're on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So we started to discuss the status of a Beis HaKnesses with regard to Tumas Negayim, with regard to whether it can become it can ever have Tzara'as of Batim, meaning does it have a din of a bias or does it not have a din of a bias? I believe we left off about six lines from the bottom. Beis HaKnesses mi metame b'negayim, is a Beis HaKnesses metame b'negayim? V'atanya, we have a brisa, yachl yu batik nesias batim midrashos metame b'negayim. One might have thought that batik nesias and batim midrashos are metame b'negayim. Tamalomar, that's why Pasuk tells me that no, uba asher lo habayis. In order for a bias to be metame b'negayim, it has to be miyuchad to an individual. Yatu elu she'in miyuchad in lo. But a Beis HaKnesses is not miyuchad to an individual, and therefore it cannot be metame b'negayim. So the Gemara is asking, how could we have said that a Beis HaKnesses is metame b'negayim? We see explicitly in this price that a Beis HaKnesses is not metame b'negayim. Three answers the Gemara offers. Number one, the Gemara says, lo kasha. Ha Rabbi Meir, Ha Rabbanan. Detanya, Beis HaKnesses, Sheish Bo Beis Dira, Lechazen HaKnesses, Chayiv B'Mezuzah. If you have a shul that has a place where somebody lives, the Chazen HaKnesses lives there, so then it's going to be Chayiv B'Mezuzah because somebody lives there. V'Shein Bo Beis Dira, if nobody lives there, Rameir Mechayiv, Lechem Potrim, Rameir says it's Chayiv B'Mezuzah, he still considers it a Beis Dira, even though nobody lives there. The Chacham do not consider it a bias because nobody lives there. So that same machlokas that we have, whether a shul is chayiv in mezuzah or pata from mezuzah is going to be the same machlokas whether it's going to be metame b'negayim or not. So it's a machlokas tanaim. It's not a stira. It's a machlokas. So if you and it's completely talui on the issue of mezuzah. If a Beis HaKnesses is chayiv in mezuzah, so it's metame b'negayim. If it's not chayiv in mezuzah, it's not metame b'negayim. Second answer, viva yisema, hava harabanan. Maybe both prices about negayim assume like the shita of the rabbanan that a Beis HaKnesses is pata from mezuzah. Lokasha hadis pa beis dira, hadilas pa beis dira. But maybe even the Chachamim agree, we know, that if there's a Beis Dira, the Beis HaKnesses is Chayiv Mezuzah, so maybe the Braisa that said that a Beis HaKnesses could be Metame B'Negayim is talking about such a Beis HaKnesses that has a Beis Dira, so it has a place where somebody lives, so Mela becomes a Bayis. If it becomes a Bayis, it becomes Chayiv Mezuzah. and it becomes susceptible to tumas negayim. But you don't have to say it's a machlokas between the two brises. It's going like the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon themselves make that chilik between a base HaKnesses that has a base dira and one that does not have a base dira. V'yibayisema, the third possibility, havaha delespa base dira. Maybe they're both talking about where there's no base dira. V'had dekrachim v'had dekfarim. Meaning that there's no base dira. We're assuming like the Rabbanon that a base HaKnesses typically is part from mezuzah, but maybe it depends what kind of base HaKnesses. If it's a base HaKnesses of large cities where people come from all over the place, so it's not just that the members daven there, the people in that community daven there, people from everywhere daven in that shul, so then there's no bailus on that shul. So if there's no bailus on the shul, because everyone uses it, so then it's not going to be chayv mezuzah, it's not going to be metami b'negayim. But a beis haknesses to kfarim, a small village, we know who the bailim of the shul are. The local residents are the bailim of the shul, so it's just like a beis hashutfin, and we said yesterday that a beis hashutfin is chayv mezuzah. Does have a din of a bias, and if it's chayv mezuzah, has a din of a bias, so it's going to be mitame b'negayim as well. So that's the third chilek that we make, that maybe there's a difference between a beis haknesses to krachim and a beis haknesses to kfarim. So before we move on, a couple of words about shuls and bate medrash. There is a story in the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, where Ravin and Abaye were walking together, and Abaye noticed that Ravin consistently went through every narrow passage ahead of him. And Abaye thought, Ravin's disrespecting me. Normally you let someone go in front of you when you want to show respect. And then they arrive at the door of the shul, and Ravin insists, Abaye, go ahead, you go in front of me. So Abaye says, now? The whole time you're jumping ahead in front of me. Now you tell me that I should go in front of you. So he explained that, no, you only show kavod at a door that's chayiv in mezuzah. So that's why I waited till we got to a doorway that's chayiv in mezuzah to show you the kavod. So the Gemara says, wait a second, they got to a shul. A shul is not chayiv in mezuzah. Beis HaKnesses is pater from mezuzah, and a beis medrash is pater from mezuzah. So how could you say that he waited till he got to a doorway that's chayiv in mezuzah? So the Gemara says, no. What he meant is you show kavod through a doorway whose structure is structured like a doorway that would be chayiv in mezuzah. We're not interested in the usage of the room. That's how you show kavod has nothing to do with what you actually use the room for. It's a matter of having a real doorway, a legitimate doorway with the Tzuras HaPesach. That's the kind of the way you're traveling on the road, and there's a narrow passageway, so that there's no inyan of showing kavod. But it is very clear from that Gemara that a shul does not require a mezuzah, and sounds that a beis medrash also. And the Shulchan Aruch and Resh Pei Vav Sif Gimel, like our Gemara has said many times, we've seen it, that a beis haknesses is pater from mezuzah. What about a beis medrash? So based on that Gemara, it seems obvious that it's not just a beis haknesses, that a beis medrash is also pater from mezuzah. And in fact, Tosfos over here in Yud Aleph and Beis says mashma mikan to base HaKnesses, ooh, base HaMedrash, she'in bo base dira, delo bo'i mezuzah. That a base HaKnesses and a base Medrash do not require a mezuzah. Now, on the other hand, the Gemara Menachas Daf Lamed Gimel, Tosfos points out over here, states explicitly that Rav Huna had a mezuzah on the doorway to his beis medrash. The Gemara over there explains that even though Rebbe didn't have a mezuzah for his doorway into the beis medrash, that's because Rebbe's doorway was pater because it wasn't the main entrance into the beis medrash. Rashi says that Rebbe had like his own small doorway right near a seat that he would use and no one else, so as not to trouble everybody else to stand every time he walked in. So it was like a quick shortcut that went directly to a seat so that he wouldn't walk through the beis medrash and have everyone stand for him every time he walked in. So in order to reconcile the contradiction, our Tosa says, meaning again, we have a Gemara in Menachos that sounds like normally a door to a beis medrash, if it's the main doorway, does require a mezuzah. Yet the Gemara in Bava Metzia sounds like that it absolutely does not require a mezuzah. The Gemara in Brachos, rather, sounds like it absolutely does not require a mezuzah. So to answer the stira, Tosa suggests that the Gemara in Menachos, which implies that a beis medrash does require a mezuzah, is speaking about a doorway between the beis medrash and your house. So it requires a mezuzah, not mitzad the beis medrash, but mitzad your house. Just like the front door of your house requires a mezuzah, not mitzad the outdoors doesn't need a mezuzah, but mitzad your house. So if you have a doorway between a room and a non-room, it requires a mezuzah mitzad the room. A normal entranceway to a beis medrash, though, does not need a mezuzah. That's Shitas HaTosos. The Rush in Menachos, Hilchos Mezuzah, Simen Yud, assumes that that it's just a stira in sugyas, and each it's a machlokas tanaim. So the Rush points out that the Yerushalmi seems to to support the shita that a mezuzah is required in the Beis Medrash. And the Rosh says that once when the Maharam Rutenberg was taking an afternoon nap in the Beis Medrash, some sort of ruach ra confronted him and wouldn't leave him until he put a mezuzah up in the Beis Medrash. So the Rosh says, take that for what it's worth. So Beis Medrash requires, we might paskin that a Beis Medrash requires a mezuzah machlokes between two sugyas. So the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Pei Vav, Sif Yud, says exactly what you would expect when you have a machlokes in two sugyas. I mean, Shulchan Aruch assumes, like the Rosh, not like Tosos, that it's a machlokes between two sugyas, and therefore he says you should put a mezuzah up in the Beis Medrash, but no, don't say a bracha. Shach points out that whenever you have a suffix like that, whenever you have a suffix, whether you chayv a mezuzah, you put a mezuzah up, but you don't say a bracha. But if you can put another mezuzah up that's definitely chayiv at that time and say a bracha on that one, that's obviously the best thing to do. Good. So that's the din of Beis Medrash. Why is it that a Beis HaKnesses is pater from mezuzah? So from our Gemara right here, Hadakrachim Hadakfarim, it sounds very clear that by an urban shul, it doesn't belong to anybody, and in order for a place to require a mezuzah, there has to be clear ownership of the property. Whereas a Beis HaKnesses, certain types of Batei Knesios at least, don't have clear ownership, and therefore you can't be called Beis Secha. The Rambam writes, however, in Hilchos Tefillin Mezuzah, Sefer Torah, Perek Vav, Halacha Vav, that shuls and Batei Medrash are Pater Mezuzah because of their Kedusha. That a place that has such Kedusha doesn't require a Mezuzah. So the Chassam Sofer in Yitshuva, in Yardeis, in Resh Pei Aleph, says, well, where does the Rambam get this from? Adarabah, it doesn't seem logical at all. The Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses is only Midrabanan. Kedusha of Beis HaMikdash is the Kedusha Daraisa. Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses is only Kedusha Midrabanan. So how could you say that it's going to be potter from mezuzah? I mean, yeah, we did have a gemara yesterday on Yeral from Beis at the top that said that Yachol Shani Marba Arf Harabayis Valishchos Vazaros Tamlor Mabayis Mabayis Shulchol Avkol Shulchol. That only something that's chol is chayiv in mezuzah, not something that's kadosh. Yeah, but that's a drasha daraisa. So presumably, we're excluding things that have Kedusha midaraisa, but a Beis HaKnesses doesn't have Kedusha midaraisa. So where would the Rambam get this chiluk from? So what Chassam Sofer suggests is that the Rif and the Rambam explain our Gemara, the chiluk between a Beis HaKnesses to Krachim and a Beis HaKnesses to Kfarim, differently than Rashi. Rashi said it's all about ownership, that the Beis HaKnesses to Krachim isn't owned by anybody. A Beis HaKnesses to Kfarim is very clearly owned by the local residents. But the Rif explains that the urban shuls don't require mezuzah because, generally speaking, nobody lives in them. The reason that the Beis HaKnesses to Kfarim do require mezuzah is because usually they have somebody that lives in them. So in the Rifs and the way the Chassam Sofer explains the Rambam's point of view, any place that's set aside from human residents or for human residents will require a mezuzah. Places designated purely for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's residents do not require a mezuzah. That's why a shul with a base dira attached to it is chayiv a mezuzah. See, it's not a function of the Kedusha per se, it's more a function of, is there practically, at the end of the day, is there a human being that lives there? So even in the Beis HaMikdash itself, the Lishchas Parhedrin requires a mezuzah, right? We already learned. Why is that? There's Kedusha of the Harabayas and the Azaros and everything else. No, but the Rambam's intent in exempting his shuls because of its extra sanctity is only to suggest that a place where Kodesh Baruch Hu alone lives is not obligated to mezuzah. Once a human being lives there, regardless of what level of Kedusha the place is actually at, it's then going to be chayiv in mezuzah. Good, so this is the chiluk that we made, that a Beis HaKnesses to Krachim is not chayiv in mezuzah, Beis HaKnesses to Kfarim is chayiv in mezuzah. So frankly, we're on the top of Yud Beis HaMinal, top line, Ud Krachim, and therefore, if it's any place that's chayiv in mezuzah, is also able to be mitam b'negayim. If it's not chayiv in mezuzah, not able to be mitam b'negayim. So frankly, we're on the Krachim, ain't mitam b'negayim. Do you mean to tell me the Beis HaKnesses of a large city is not mitam b'negayim? V'atanya, we have a brisa achuzaschem mitam b'negayim in Yerushalayim mitam b'negayim, that achuzaschem, the place where you get a Yerusha, is mitam b'negayim, but Yerushalayim is not mitam b'negayim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ani lo shamati ela makom mikdash b'lvad. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I only heard this from what I understand, this only comes to exclude the makom mikdash, that the makom mikdash is not achuzaschem, but the everywhere else is achuzaschem and is mitam b'negayim. including Habatei Knesios, Habatei Midrashos, Metamin Binagayim. The Habatei Knesios, Habatei Midrashos, they are not the Makom Migdash, so they are Metamin Binagayim. The Alpha Gav, the Krachim Ninu, sounds like even though it's a Beis HaKnesses, the Krachim, it's Metamin Binagayim, because it's not the Migdash. Say, Ema, Amar Rabbi Yudah, Ani Lo Shamati Ela Makom Mikudash Bilvad. Now we have to adjust Rabbi Yudah's statement. When Rabbi Yudah says that a place that's excluded from Tumas Negoim on account of it not being Achuzaschem, he's not limiting that to the Beis HaMikdash itself, to the Makom Mikdash itself. Any Makom Mikudash is excluded based on Achuzaschem, and therefore any Makom Mikudash, including a Beis HaKnesses, Dikrachim, may be Potter from Mezuzah. So, b'maikam ifilgi, what's the machlokas over here? So, Tanakama, what's the machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda? Tanakama savar Yerushalayim lo neschalka l'shvatim. When the Tanakama says that Yerushalayim is not metame b'negayim, it's because he holds that Yerushalayim is not achuzaschem. That Yerushalayim was never divided amongst the shvatim. Yerushalayim remains the holding of all of Klal Yisrael. So there was never an achuza in Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, just the Makom Mikdash, or just a Makom Mekudash, but Yerushalayim certainly is Mitamim Negaim. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Yerushalayim Nischalik L'Shvatim. That Yerushalayim, in fact, was Nischalik L'Shvatim. It was divided up amongst the Shvatim. There's a part of it that's in Shevet Yehuda, and a part of Yerushalayim that's in Shevet Binyamin, so it certainly was divided L'Shvatim. That's the Machlokas Tanaim, says the Gemara, and we find this Machlokas Tanaim elsewhere. Ubeplukta Dahani Tanai. This Machlokas Tanaim reflects itself in the following Machlokas Tanaim. The Tanya, we have a Brice on the one hand that says, Ma hayu b'chalko shel Yehuda? What was in Yehuda's portion? Which parts of the Beis Hamikdash or of the Beis Hamikdash complex were in Yehuda's portion? Harabayis, Halishchos va'azaros. That was all in Yehuda's portion. Uma hayu b'chalko shel Binyamin? And what was in Binyamin's portion? Ulam veheichal ubeis kodesh hakadoshim. That was all in Binyamin's portion. Uritzua heisa yotze michelko shel Yehuda v'nechnetzes lechelko shel Binyamin. It wasn't a straight line that divided the chelik of Yehuda and the chelik of Binyamin. There was a strip that went out from the chelik of Yehuda and encroached on the chelik, what otherwise should have been the chelik of Binyamin, ubahayi mizbeach banoi. And that's where the mizbeach was built. Ubinyamin at tzadik hayi mitztayir aleha levala b'chol yamin. Binyamin at tzadik was always mitztayir that he wishes that could have been in his portion. Shenemar chofif alav kol yom. Lefichach, because of that burning desire that Binyamin had to have the mizbeach in his portion, zach Binyamin at tzadik v'nasu ushpizchon legvura. Binyamin at tzadik became the host for Gevura. Shenemar ubeng sefav shachein. So the meaning that the Aron was put in his chelek, and that's what beng sefav shachein is a reference to. It's a reference to the Aron. So Binyamin was zochet to have the Aron because of that burning desire to want to have the avodas Hashem in his portion. So this brisa clearly holds that Yerushalayim was nischalka l'shvatim, because you have a division between Yehuda and Binyamin in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Where do we find anyone who disagrees? The high Tana Savar, Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. The following Tana holds, Yerushalayim was not nischalik l'shvatim. The Tanya, ein maskirin batim b'Yerushalayim l'fi sheina shelahen. You're not allowed to rent homes, according to this Tana, in Yerushalayim, because it doesn't belong to you to rent to somebody else. Yerushalayim belongs to everybody. So you may say, wait, I'm from Shevet Yehuda, I'm from Shevet Binyamin, I have a chelek in the... No, you don't. Yerushalayim belongs to everybody. It belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. So you're not allowed to rent any houses in Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to charge rent for your home in Yerushalayim. And this was certainly something that people would be inclined to do. You have to realize that all of Klal Yisrael is being all of the regal. So people would rent out rooms if you have an extra bedroom. So it could be very profitable. So this Tana holds, you're not allowed to do that, because that extra bedroom doesn't belong to you any more than it belongs to anybody else who wants to come. Rav Loz, Rabbi Shimon Omer, or Rabbi Tzadik to Gersos, af lo mitos, you're not even allowed to rent out a bed. Lefichach oros kachim bali yushpiz chinen noten osam bezroa. But because of that, because of this isser to rent out a room and to rent out a bed, the chacham were mesakein that we should reward the hosts, people who host various people who are coming to be al regal, by allowing them to take the the oros of kachim, the kachim kalim animals, the hides go to the bailim, it goes to the owner. So let the so let the host take that from the owner. That was their compensation. Amar Abayi, so Abayi says, oh, parenthetically, we see from there that that in general, when you're hosted by somebody, it's nice to leave a tip. Shmamina orachara lemishpach inish gulfa umashkalush pize. Person should leave the kelim that he used, the jug that he used, the hide of any animals that he may have shechted while he was there. Should leave that for the host. You should always leave the little things behind to enhance the life of your host, rather than just taking everything, rather than the attitude of going to the hotel and swiping all the little shampoos and whatever. So don't swipe everything. Leave a little something behind. Leave something for them to take. That's obviously, again, that's because you weren't paying for it. You're paying good money. Okay, so fine. So so this is the machlokas, whether Yerushalayim is neschalka l'shvatim or not neschalka l'shvatim. We see two brises. First brisa seems to assume very clearly it was. Second brisa seems to assume very clearly it was not. Frekt tosos on the top tosos tema the perikezum mekoman amrina the keren dromus mizrachis lo hayu lo yisod. The Gemara in Zvachim very clearly tells us that the keren dromus mizrachis of the mizbeach did not have a yisod hamizbeach lefish lo hayu bechalko shel toref, because if it would have had a yisod, that yisod would have been on Binyamin's portion, and we wanted to keep the entire mizbeach in Yehuda's portion. V'imkein lemanyam lo neschalka maishna deshar mekom shel mizbeach hayu lo yisod mizrachis dromus lo hayu lo yisod. So if you hold that Yerushalayim was not neschalka l'shvatim, so what a strange constructional anomaly that we have in the building of the mizbeach. Why would there not be a yisod around two sides of the mizbeach if it's not that we're trying to avoid the chelik of Binyamin? If you hold that it's not, and it doesn't seem there was any machlokas about whether there was or was not a yisod on those sides of the mizbeach, so why wasn't there a yisod? Vein l'taris l'didei ha'ilam yisod mikol tzadav dim kein al yisod mizbeach ha'ola mayavle demashma shiyesh li'teinoso b'makom shiyesh lo mechal di'ikaduchta de lo ha'ilo yisod. And he says, and don't say that sheet holds there was a yisod, because there wasn't. It seems obvious from sugyas hashas that there was not a yisod. So v'yesh lomar hachi gemiri shelo la'asus yisod b'mizrachis dromas k'dichsev hakol b'ksav. So Tos says, who knows? All I know is that we have in the clear instructions of how to build the Beis HaMikdash, and part of the clear instructions are called Miksav Miyad Hashem. Everything is from Dvar Hashem that we decide all construction. So what do we know? We have no idea why it is that would be the case, but it is the case. Rav Shechter in Eretz HaTzvi in Sim Lamed quotes the Shitas HaRambam in the end of the first paragraph of Trumas. The Rambam says that Truma b'zman hazeh, and even in the days of Ezra, was not min HaTorah zoli min Rabbanon, she'in lecha Truma shel Torah ela be'eretz Yisrael b'vad, u'b'zman shekol Yisrael sham, k'moshayu b'Yerusha Rishona. Truma in Eretz Yisrael is only midaraisa when all of Klal Yisrael is there, like at the first Yerusha. V'kasu miktsas min achronim. So some of the achronim say that peros that grow in Yerushalayim, even according to the Rambam, would be chayiv in Trumas and Maisos min haTorah. That even though he says that Truma in general in Eretz Yisrael is not min haTorah, unless everybody is there, but peros that grow in Yerushalayim, even according to the Rambam, would be chayiv in min haTorah. Why? Because the Rambam himself, in the first paragraph of Trumas, writes that anything that echziku ole mitzrayim v'niskadish kedusha rishona, so once they go into galus, that kedusha is batal, and that's not shayach by Yerushalayim, because by Yerushalayim the Rambam writes in the sixth paragraph of Chesbeis Abechira that kedusha of the mikdash in Yerushalayim is kitchel l'shaita v'kitchel aslava. The whole reason the din of truma midaraisa went away from the rest of Eretz Yisrael is because the kedusha went away, but the kedusha of Yerushalayim, the kedusha of the mikdash, is kitchel aslava. So Frank of Cipes Frank, Adrabba, he should have said that Peros Akron and Yerushalayim are always potter from Trumas and Maestros, even during the Tekufa of Bayis Rishon, because the Gemara says that in Ksubis, that in the 14 years of the Kibush and Chiluk, there was no Chiv of Trumas and Maestros. What created the Chiv of Trumas and Maestros? The Chiluk L'Shvatim. So if Yerushalayim was never Nischalik L'Shvatim, it never should have become Chayiv in Trumas and Maestros in the first place. So says Rav Shechter, maybe to answer that Kasha of Tzvi Pesach Frank, we need to understand how to answer the Kasha of our Tosfos. Meaning, if you don't like to answer the Tosfos gives, which is essentially, I don't know, it just is. We have no idea why there's no yesod on two sides of them. Maybe there's another approach. we could take to this Tosos. He says maybe there's Tzvei Dinim, and he quotes this from a Salvechik, that there are Tzvei Dinim in Chalukas Eretz Yisrael L'Shvatim. There's one, number one, a din of Tfusas Habayis, that just like any other Chiluk of Shutfim, any other Chalukas of Shutfim, any other partners that divide something, it's a din in Dinim Amnis. So L'Acher the Chaluka, so part of Eretz Yisrael belongs to this Shevet, another part belongs to that Shevet, but it's not Chelko Shel Yehuda or Chelko Shel Binyamin. It's just a bailus. It's not a chalos shame on the chefza. It's just a bailus that you happen to be. It's shayich to you. You have Reuven happens to own this portion. This shevet happens to own that portion. Good. Then there's a second din of Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, which is part of the mitzvah of Yirashtim Osav Yishavtim Ba. The Ramban counts as one of the mitzvahs in the Torah that a mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael, part of Yirashtim Osav Yishavtim Ba, is to recognize your tribal holding. So there's a din in din in mamnas, take what's yours, to divide it up like any shutfim would divide anything up, and then there's a din of recognizing your tribal holding. We have a similar concept. The Ravid, quoted in the Shittim Kvetzas in Yesh Nochlin, Babasra, Davkov Chavalev, says that Chalukas Haaretz L'Shvatim was based on the Urim V'tumim, but Chalukas Kol Shevet V'Shevet into the Mishpachos within the Shevet was based on a Goral, and they didn't use the Urim V'tumim. Why? Why the difference? Why when they divided L'Shvatim would they use the Urim V'tumim? Because when you're dealing with dinim mamnas, you don't use the Urim V'tumim for dinim mamnas. So you're dividing it amongst the families in the Shevet, that's purely a dinim mamnas Chalukah. But dividing from one Shevet to another, that this Shevet gets that, then it's not only dinim mamnas, there's also the din of the tribal holding, which is something that you would use the Urim V'tumim. It's a din of Issa V'Heter. So he says, now maybe based on this second din of Chalukas Haaretz, Betaras Issa V'Heter, maybe that's what we're saying, that it's different than all other Chalukas of Shutfim. That after they were Mechalik, the Eretz Yisrael, the Shvatim, it was called Chalko Shal Yehuda as its own shame, and it was called Chalko Shal Binyamin as its own shame, that it was a real Chaluka. So when it comes to the Binyamin Mizbeach, maybe there was no Yisod Karen Dromus, there was no Yisod on the Karen Dromus Mizrachus of the Mizbeach, because that was in the Chalko Shal Yehuda and not the Chalko Shal Binyamin, meaning that Enochinami Lonis Chalko L'Shvatim may be a din in one of the dinim of Chalukah of Shvatim of Yerushalayim, but not in the other din. In the other din, so he says the whole machlokas between Rabbi and Chachamim whether Yerushalayim is in Chalko L'Shvatim, maybe that's dafka legabi dinim mamonis. Does Yerushalayim become the mamon haprati of Yehuda or of Binyamin or not? But Betoris Chalukas Yisr V'Heter, that's the part of the mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, it's part of the mitzvah of Kibush V'Chiluk, then certainly there was a Chalukah. So he says, then you understand very clearly the answer to C. Pesach Frank's Kasha, that in order to be Chayv in Shumas Maisus, you don't need a Chalukah Betoris Dine Mamanus. Yerushalayim was never Neschalik L'Shvatim in Dine Mamanus, but it was Neschalik L'Shvatim in Yisr V'Heter, and that was enough to create a Chayv Shumas Maisus in the first place. So that Chayv Shumas Maisus never went away. So that's the approach Rav Shetler suggested, based on Salvechik's approach in the Tzvei Dinim, in the Chalukah L'Shvatim, to answer the Kasha of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. There is a Deya that the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Achronim, that even though we tear Kriya on Ari Yehuda, that you don't tear Kriya when you see Chevron, because it was one of the Ari Miklat, and it was given over to the Levim, so it's not called Ari Yehuda, because the Ari Miklat were all given over to the Levim. Most of the Achronim say that we don't assume like that Deya. But what's the Yisod? What's the Svara for that Deya? So Shechter writes in Be'ikvei Atzon in Simin Yud Ches that maybe it also relates to our Tosos. He says probably there are three ingredients that go into such a Shita, not to tear Kriya and Chevron. First of all, the Rambam writes in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Avodah Zarah that none of the Ari Miklat can become an Yerin Nidachas, because it says Ba'achad Sha'arecha. So Yerushalayim can't become an Yerin Nidachas because it's not Neschalka L'Shvatim. So Yerushalayim is not able to become an Yerin Nidachas either. So the Ravid says on the Rambam, by Ari Miklat, he says, Lo Yadati Ma'ayin Lozeh, Lo Namar B'Gemara, El Yerushalayim. Granted that the Yerushalayim, it says that it can't be an Yerin Miklat, why can't any of the, granted Yerushalayim can't be an Ari Nidachas, why can't any of the Ari Miklat become an Ari Nidachas? It doesn't say that anywhere. He says, all the other Ari Miklat were donated by the individual Shvatim that owned that year. So the Ravid understands in the Rambam Shita that the reason that none of the Ari Miklat can become an Ari Nidachas is because just like Yerushalayim is not Nischalik L'Shvatim, the Ari Miklat are also not Nischalik L'Shvatim. That's how the Ravid understands what the Rambam is trying to get at. Now, our Tosfos in Yuma understands Kipshuta. When we say that something is not Nischalik L'Shvatim, it means that it wasn't Nischalik at all. Our Tosfos takes it as a full the full picture. It's not Nischalik at all. So if you put the Shitas HaRambam together with the Shitas HaTosfos, it will turn out that all Arei Miklat are not Nischalik L'Shvatim, and therefore they're not called Arei Yehuda. That when we say it's not Nischalik L'Shvatim, it means it's not Nischalik at all, so it can never be called Arei Yehuda. So when someone sees the Beis HaMikdash Baruch Habano, when you're Korea for the Beis HaMikdash Baruch Habano, we still do that Bezman Hazeh. Why? Because it's Avelus on the Churban Abayas. What about when you see the Arei Yehuda b'Churbanon? So that's a Machlokas Achronim. Why are we Korea when we see the Arei Yehuda b'Churbanon? Is it a Kriya because of the loss of Malchus Yisrael, that the Arei Yehuda are no longer in the Malchus Yisrael? Or is it a din of Shichno Shel Makom, that the Arei Yehuda are supposed to be the neighbors of the Shechina, meaning right near the Beis HaMikdash? And part of the Avelus of Churban Abayis is that the Arei Yehuda are no longer b'Shichno Shel Makom. The Gemara Sanhedrin, David Alvin says, "Ain ma avrinas Hashanim el biyehuda. We can only be ma'avrishanim Yehuda. Why? So the Gemara says because shichlo shel makom, because it's a neighbor of the Shechina. So there is that other element of Arei Yehuda that it's not just Jewish governance over the land, but it's the shichlo shel makom. It's connected to the Churban Abayis. L'may nafkamina? Nafkamina is Arei Yehuda b'zman hazeh. It's under a Jewish government. So if it's under Jewish government, we wouldn't tear kriya anymore for Arei Yehuda. But it's not shichlo shel makom. We don't have the Beis Hamikdash back, so we would tear." So if you hold that it's din in Shechno Shel Makom, if you hold it's din in Churban HaMikdash, then you would tear Kriya. So now, if you assume, like the Shita Levush, that Ari Yehuda is a din in Shechno Shel Makom, that it's not just a din of Malchus, and you assume, like the Shita Saramam, that every year Miklat is not Nechalik L'Shvatim, and you understand that the way Tosos would understand that, that Chiluk L'Shvatim means that it's not Nechalik at all, so you understand very well why you won't tear Kriya on Chevron, because it's not Me Ari Yehuda Al Pidin. So you wouldn't tear Kriya on Chevron. La Halacha Rav Shechter points out all three elements all three ingredients of that yesod are very, very questionable. Most of the poskim assume, first of all, that Ari Yehuda Bizman Azeh we would not tear Kriya on because they're under Jewish government, and Jewish governance is all you need. And second, it's not so clear that the Rambam means what the Ravid thinks he means. That when he says that Ari Miklat don't become an Irani Dachas, the Rambam, when he says that, quotes a separate pasuk from the one of in Yerushalayim becoming an Irani Dachas. So from the pashas of the Rambam, it sounds that it's not because an Ir Miklat is not Nischalik L'Shvatim. It's a separate din. The way Rav Shechter quotes from the Sefer told us Adam in the name of Rav Zalman Mivalajin, that the din of the Rambam that an Ari Miklat cannot become an Irani Dachas is drasha in the Sefri in Parshas Maaseh from Exeris HaKasuf. It has nothing to do with an Nischalik L'Shvatim of Yerushalayim. And the third yesod, that Yerushalayim, that the Gemara says not Nischalik L'Shvatim, you don't have to say like Tosos that it's not Nischalik L'Shvatim at all. Maybe you could say like the Chilik that we said, that it means that there's Tzvei Dinim in Nischalik L'Shvatim, and it's just not Nischalik L'Shvatim in terms of the Dinim Mamanis, but in terms of the Yerusha, Itaka is Nischalik L'Shvatim. Okay, all that about Chiluk L'Shvatim. So let's see weiter in the Gemara now. So says the Gemara, so we said that a base hakneses of a small village is mitame binagayim, meaning that it's chayiv mezuzah and it's mitame binagayim. So, is that really true? So we said that what's mitame binagayim? Something that's an achuza, which means you have to be kovishit kovshuos of lachalkul shvatim. If you're kovishit, but you don't divide among shvatim, chalkul shvatim lachalkul base avos, or it's divided among shvatim and not the base avos, chalkul base avos vein kalech vechod makir es shelo, and even if you divide in base levels, but not everybody knows what belongs specifically to them. Me Nayin, how do I know that such an area, such a home, is not going to be subject to Tumas Nige Batim, to Tsaras of houses? Tamalam Aruva Asher Lo Habayis. Mishm Yuchad Lo Yatzeelu Shein Yuchad and Lo. You see that a bias has to be designated for a single individual in order for it to be Matami Binagayim. So Beis HaKnesses, even the Kfarim, should not be Matami Binagayim. Granted, you know it belongs to the people in this community, but which individual does it belong to? There's no single individual that you can pinpoint. So we have to go with one of the other two answers. Remember, there were three answers as to what to do with the stira of whether Batei Knesios are subject to Tumas Negayim or not. So one answer was it was Machlokes from Eir the Rabbanan. The other one said that even if it's the Rabbanan, it's the difference between whether there has Beis Dira or not. And the third answer was a chiluk between Krachim and Kfarim. So forget the third answer. Go with the other answers and then we'll be fine. So Masakim al Kohen Acher. Then the Mishnah had said we prepare a backup Kohen Gadol. So Pshita Yirbo Psul Kodim Tamashal Shachar Mechanchan Osob Tamashal Shachar. If some sort of psul happens in the Kohen Gadol before the Tamashal Shachar is brought, then we're going to have no problem figuring out how to be Mechanich the backup Kohen Gadol, because the Tamashal Shachar is done wearing the Big Day Kuna Gadola. So let the backup Kohen Gadol wear the Big Day Kuna Gadola, and that's it. The Begadim make him a Kohen Gadol. He now becomes a Kohen Gadol. Eli Yirbo Psul Achar Tamashal Shachar B'mem Mechanchan. So, but let's say the Kohen Gadol, the first Kohen Gadol, only becomes possible after the Tamid Shel Shachar. Now, how are we going to be Mechanech the backup Kohen Gadol? You can't do it with Riboy Begadim L'chara, because there is no Riboy Begadim. The Kohen Gadol doesn't wear Shemona Begadim the whole rest of the day. So, three answers. Number one, says Maram Ravad Barava Ba'avnet. He puts on the special Avnet of the Kohen Gadol. Instead of wearing the Avnet of the Kohen Hedyot, he wears the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol that the Kohen Gadol would wear in Yom Kippur. Meaning, this works with the assumption that the Avnet the Kohen Gadol would... We definitely know one thing. The Avnet of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur was different than the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol throughout the rest of the year. Throughout the rest of the year, the Kohen Gadol would wear an Avnet made of Shatnis. On Yom Kippur, it was purely linen. So we are assuming right now that the Kohen Hedyot typically would wear an Avnet made out of Shatnis. So if you want to turn him into a Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, have him put on a purely linen Avnet. Let him put on the Kohen Gadol, the Yom HaKippurim Avnet. So it says, Hanich l'man the Yom Avnet v'shal Kohen Gadol, zehu Avnet v'shal Kohen Hedyot. That works really well if you assume that the Kohen Gadol throughout the rest of the year, it wore the same thing as the Kohen Hedyot always wears, meaning that it was an Avnet of, that the Kohen Hedyot's normal Avnet was Shatnis. So then it makes sense to assume that there's a way to be Mechanichim by putting on an avnet of linen. Almanyam avnet shel kohen gadol lozeu avnet shel kohen hedyot. But if you're going to say that throughout the rest of the year, when the kohen gadol is wearing an avnet of shatnis, the kohen hedyot is always wearing an avnet of only linen. He's never wearing the same thing as the kohen gadol. So on Yom Kippur, when the kohen gadol puts on the avnet of linen, having a kohen hedyot wear an avnet of linen is not going to be a maila tikuna gadola. He wears avnet of linen all year round. So Michael the Meimar, how are we going to be mechanich this kohen hedyot? So says Gemara, second possibility. Amar Abayi, lovi shmona u'mahapich b'tzinora. That you haven't put on the shmona begadim, and let him be mahapich with the fork a little bit, do a minor avoda. Ravuna, dam Ravuna, zar sheibich b'tzinora, chayiv misa. If a zar were to do it, it's chayiv misa, because a zar krayiv yumas, so apparently it's called enough of an avoda. So let him do some sort of minor avoda. It's not really an avoda of Yom HaKippurim that would require shmona begadim. So in that way, that will be a hechi timtza to be mechayiv him to put on the shmona begadim. And that will be mechanichim. Third possibility, Papa Amar Avodaso Milchan Chaso, that you don't need to do, you don't need to rely on the begadim to be mechanichim as a kohen gadol. The avoda itself, just doing the avoda Yom HaKippurim, should do the trick. Milo Tanya, don't we have a parallel braisa when it comes to being mechanich kelim for a kedusha of klei shares, that kala kelim shasa Moshe mishichasan mikadashtan mikan ve'elach avodasan mechanachtan, that all the kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu made, so they used shemen mishcha to grant them kedusha of klei shares. Afterwards, how would they get the status of klei shares? Using them. You use them as klei shares. They become klei shares. So hachanami, avodasa mechanchaso. Same thing could be with kedusha of a person, the kedusha of kuna gedola. That if you can't do it with a meshicha, you can't do it with a riboy begadim, you could do it through avoda. You could be mechanichim through the avoda. Kiyasar avdimi omar, avneto shel kohen hedyot, rebi v'rablozer rebi shimon. When it comes to the avneto of the kohen hedyot, remember we said that which Avnet the Kohen Gadol wore is not a machlokas. We know that the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol throughout the rest of the year was Shatnis, and Yom Kippur was linen. What about the Kohen Hedyot throughout the rest? What about the Kohen Hedyot always? So Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon, Chad Omer Shal Klayim, V'Chad Omer Shal Boats. So one says it was made out of Klayim, the other one says it was made out of linen. Testayim to Rebbe Hu Domer Shal Klayim. It's most mistaver that Rebbe is the one that says that the Avnet of the Kohen Hedyot throughout the year was Klayim, just like the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol throughout the year. The Tanya ain bin Kohen Gadol Kohen Hedyot Ella Avnet Divrei Rebbe, because Rebbe says that the only difference between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyot is the Avnet. So it's Mistaver that Rebbe's one that says that it was that it was Klayim. Reb Lozer Rebbe Shim, meaning the difference between Kohen Gadol Kohen Hedyot on Yom HaKippurim is the Avnet. Reb Lozer Rebbe Shimon Omer Af Lo Avnet. Reb Lozer Rebbe Shimon says no, the Avnet itself was not a difference. So Ema. So When is this talking about? Meaning that there's a distinction between that according to Rebbe, the Avnet is what differentiates the Kohen Gadol from the Kohen Hedyot, and according to Rebbe Reb Shimon, the Avnet is the same. When is it talking about? Because throughout the rest of the year, Kohen Gadol is wearing Shatnez. On Yom Kippur, he's not. So when are we saying that there's a machlokas whether the Kohen Hedyot is the same or not? Say, name of B'shar Yom HaShana, if it's talking about the rest of the year, well, that's the only difference we can find between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot throughout the rest of the year. Tuva Ika, there are plenty of differences. Kohen Gadol Meshamish B'Shmona, V'Hedyot Ba'arba. Namely, that the Kohen Gadol wears 8 begadim, and the Kohen Hedyot only wears 4 begadim throughout the rest of the year. So there are plenty of other differences. Elav Yom HaKippurim. So it must be that we're talking about on Yom Kippur. And it's on Yom Kippur when we know the Kohen Gadol is not wearing Shatnis that Rebbe comes along and says that Ein Ben Kohen Gadol Kohen Hedyot Ela Avnet. That Avnet is different for a Kohen Hedyot. So you see that the Kohen Hedyot wears Shatnis according to Rebbe. So you see that Rebbe holds that the Avnet of the Kohen Hedyot is Shatnis. That's the Raya. Says, no, there is no Shmon on Yom Kippur. Oh, yeah, so we're assuming, okay, there are a lot of kashas that you could ask on this, but we're assuming when we say Yom Kippur, we're talking about the Avodas Yom Kippur, that dafka for the Avodas Yom Kippur. So Amri, lo, li'olam b'shayim os Hashanah, u'bahanach t'shavin. So it says the Gemara, really, we're talking about shayim os Hashanah. That's the only difference we could find is the Avnet? No, we mean in begadim that they both happen to wear, that's the only difference. There are begadim that the Kohen Gadol wears, the Kohen Hedyot doesn't wear, but within the begadim that they both wear, within the four that are common to the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot, that's the only difference. That's what we mean to say. But really, you could be talking about Shari Yom HaShanah. Tosfos raises a kash. He says, what about the Mitznefes? Kohen, the Kohen Gadol, it says Mitznefes. By Kohen Hedyot, it says Mikvaos. So why? Because the Kohen Gadol had a narrower hat than the Kohen Hedyot had, because the Kohen Gadol had to leave room for the tefillin and the tzitz, where the Kohen Hedyot had a wider hat. So why don't we mention that as one of the chilukim? So the Achronim point out, well, wait a second, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol also, he didn't need the tzitz, and he didn't need tefillin. It was Yom Kippur. He didn't need either one of those. Maybe he talked, no, but we have no indication that he wore a different hat on Yom Kippur. He wore Arba Begadim, he didn't wear Shmona Begadim, but he still wore a different hat than Kohen Hedyot. So Tosfos says, yeah, they're pretty much the same, it's just one is a little bigger than the other one. That wouldn't be a difference. A difference would be in what it's made out of, that one is shatness, one is linen. But these hats are both the same, it's just one is a little smaller, one's a little bigger. Fine. Vayitu l'gmar. Ki yasu Ravin amar avnei shel Kohen Gadol b'yom ha-kippurim divrei kol shel botz. So Ravin just clarifies everything we know already. The avnei of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur is definitely made out of just linen. B'sharim mos hashana divrei kol shel klayim. Throughout the rest of the year, it's definitely made out of shatness. Lo nechuk vel v'avnei shel Kohen Hedyot bein b'sharim mos hashana bein b'yom ha-kippurim. The machlokas is only about the avnei of the Kohen Hedyot throughout the rest of the year and on Yom Kippur. Rebbe Yomer shel klayim, Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon Omer shel botz. Rebbe holds it's made out of shatness. Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon holds it's made out of purely linen. Rashash says, wait a second, there is a sheet of the Balamor that Kohen Hedyot may not do any avoda on Yom Kippur, not just the avoda on Yom Kippur, we can't do any avoda on Yom Kippur. If you hold like that, what's the Gemara saying? Kohen Hedyot, bein b'shar Yom HaShana, bein b'yom HaKippurim? What's a Kohen Hedyot doing wearing big day kuhuna on Yom HaKippurim? He's not allowed to be doing any avoda on Yom HaKippurim. So what do you mean, bein b'yom HaKippurim? It's a strong kasha. So the Gvuras Ari suggests that maybe the Haktaras Evarim Upadarim from yesterday's Kabbalas, that maybe if you hold that you're allowed to burn the Evarim Upadarim from Shabbos on Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur falls down on Sunday, so maybe that's what you have the Kohen doing. It's not today's avoda, it's yesterday's avoda, but he's doing it today.
So you have to be doing that avoda to be wearing the
Yeah. Otherwise, they're being moah. Yeah. So they're not allowed to stop just wear the walk around with the big day kuna. So we have Brisa just like this. Al Basaro Matam Lomar Yilbash. The Pasuk already says Al Basaro. When it talks about the doing the Trumas Hadeshen, it says Velovash Akoyin Midovad Michnes Evad Yilbash Al Basaro. But it already said Velovash. Why does it have to say Yilbash Al Basaro? So Lahavi Mitznefes Vavnet La Ramas Hadeshen Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. To tell us that even while doing the Trumas Hadeshen, he needs to be wearing the four Big Day Kuhuna. He needs to be wearing the Mitznefes Avnet as well. Rabbi Dosa Amar Lahavdi Big Day Koyin Gadol Biyom Akipurim Shem Ksherin Lakoyin Hedyot. No, it's coming to teach me that the Big Day Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur can be used by a Kohen Hedyot. Since he's only wearing four begadim on Yom Kippur, so it's kosher for a Kohen Hedyot to use throughout the rest of the year. So Rebbe Yomer Shtei Tshuvas B'davar. Rebbe says, whoa, wait a second, there's two problems with that. First of all, it's the wrong belt. Second of all, va'od begadim shenishtamish ben kedusha chamura tishamish ben kedusha kala, something that you use for the avoda on Yom Kippurim lefnai v'lefnim. You can use stam for a regular avoda on a Tuesday in January. How could that be? Now Yilbash comes to tell me that you're allowed to use the worn out clothing, meaning the big dekuna that have been worn already. This is Rabbi Dosa l'shitaso. He holds that when the Kohen Gadol removes the dal begadim after the avodas Yom Kippurim, it's tunin geniza. You have to leave it there and it becomes nignaz. You can't use it again. Rabbi Dosa omer shlo yishtamish ben Yom Kippurim acher. Rabbi Dosa says no, it just means that you're not allowed to use it for another Yom Kippurim. So because by Big Day Yom Kippurim it says Pashas Big Day Abar Shalavash Vivo Al Kodesh V'Nicham Sham. So that's the question. What does it mean V'Nicham Sham? Does it mean that it can never ever be used again, or does it mean that it can be used again, just not for another Yom Kippurim? Okay, we'll stop there. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll talk about what happens with the second Kohen Gadol when the first one comes back. Oh, yeah.